Mashiach. Again, because we only have, this is our last year, we're going to do it b'kitzer. We're not going to try to discuss the topic comprehensively, but focus on a couple of nekudos, which I think you might find interesting. So unlike Olam Haba, which we discussed last week, Yemos HaMashiach is explicitly discussed in the Torah. And again, unlike Olam Haba and Gan Eden, which we referred to last week, which is not a halachic category in any sense, Yemos HaMashiach, as we'll see, is a halachic category. It's something that's, as we noted last week, part of Olam Hazeh, as opposed to an otherworldly experience. And as such, it's dealt with differently. While the psukim in Chumash don't mention Mashiach as the person, the Melech HaMashiach, they do discuss the Messianic era. There are perhaps allusions to the Melech HaMashiach. The Rambam, for example, understands that the pasuk of Erenu velo ata, Ashurenu velo karov, Darach kochav miyakov, v'kam shevet miyisrael, Umachatz pasei moav v'karkar kol b'nei sheis. That is a reference to the Melech HaMashiach. But explicitly, there is no, the term Mashiach, as in the anointed one, is not used in the Chumash. But the idea of a period that we call colloquially Mashiach is certainly there. Take a look at the first source on your Makoros. V'hayaki yavo alecha kol advarim ha'ila bracha v'aklala shenasati lefanecha v'ashevos al levavecha b'chol agoyim asher hidachacha Hashem elokecha shama. So these psukim are discussing Klal Yisrael who are in Galus, and what's going to happen. V'shavta ad Hashem elokecha v'shamata b'kolo b'chol asher anochi mitzavcha hayom ata uvanecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha. So there's going to be tshuva. V'shav Hashem elokecha shvuscha v'richamecha. There's going to be kibbutz galios, v'shav v'kibetzcha mikol amim asher hafitzcha Hashem elokecha shama. Im yanidchacha b'ktzei hashamayim, misham yikabetzcha Hashem elokecha, misham yikachacha. So wherever you are in the world, from the four corners of the earth, God will gather you in. V'haviyacha Hashem elokecha l'aretz asher yashua v'osecha v'irishta, and you'll be returned to Eretz Yisrael. V'hitivcha v'hirbacha me'avosecha. And it's going to be better than it ever was. Umal Hashem elokecha es levavcha ve'es levav zarecha. We'll have to figure out what exactly this means. God will circumcise your hearts. Does that mean that our nature will change? Some, like Ramban, understand this as referring to the idea that we won't have the same level of bechira, or the Yetzer Hara won't exist. But God will circumcise your hearts to love Him. B'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha l'man chayachav. V'nasan Hashem elokecha es kol halos ha'ela al oivecha. So again, the psukim describe the what we could call the messianic era, not the individual redeemer, and it describes kibbutz galios, tshuva, a period of goodness that exceeds that which ever existed before. The Rambam very much stresses the importance of belief in Yemos HaMashiach. Your second source is from the Rambam's Yud Gimel Ikar Yemuna. Va'isod Hashneim are Yemos HaMashiach. V'hu la'amin ul'amei shiyavo. V'ein lomar shenis acher im yismameh chakelo. Rambam, of course, here incorporating from the Pasuk, stresses A, the need for belief, but B, the need to long for Mashiach. And we'll see that even more explicitly in the Mishnah Torah, but let's just first finish this source. Again, fascinating. This is, of course, something that makes belief, the ikar of Mashiach, different than the other 12 ikare emunah. There is a need to long to daven. L'mash nemar bo al yidei kol navi mi Moshe v'ad Malachi. Rambam, like we noted, stressed that the concept of Mashiach is stated by Moshe all the way surely through the end of the prophets. Umi shenistapik bo o zilzel b'inyano Hareze makchish es haTorah sheivticha bo beferush beparshas Bilam v'atem nitzavim. Atem nitzavim we just read. Bilam is what I said before. Darach kochav miYaakov. So while with respect to the other 12 Ikari Amuna, where it would seem that belief in Ikari Amuna is sufficient, here the Rambam stresses the importance of longing, of pining for Yemos HaMashiach. In the next source from the Mishneh Torah, you see this even more explicitly. V'chol mi she'eno ma'amin bo, mi she'eno mechake lebiyaso, lo b'shar nevi'em bilvad hu kofel b'torah uv'moshe Rabbeinu. So someone who does not believe in the coming of Mashiach, or even someone, it would seem, who believes in the coming of Mashiach, but does not long for the coming of Mashiach. Someone believes that Mashiach will come, but right now he's happy, he has a nice house, a couple of cars, good job. So what does he need Mashiach for? Everything's going just fine. So of course he believes in Mashiach, but he doesn't long for it. The Rambam says that too is a form of kfira. And in a moment, we'll address why is that the case. What's so bad about not longing for Mashiach? Obviously, something's a little bit wrong, but to such an extent that that would be classified as heresy. The truth is that longing for Mashiach, I think, is something that's not easy. The Gemara in Shabbos records that there are six questions that a person's asked after they die, and one of them is Tzipisa Yoshua. The fact that this is among the questions would indicate that it's not something that's automatic or obvious. Just like Kavata Itin LaTorah, or V'nasasta V'nasasa B'emuna are hard, presumably Tzipisa Yoshua is something which isn't automatic. So I want to think about for one moment, why is it that longing for Mashiach is so important? What is it that we long for? Why do we long? And accordingly, why is failure to long considered something that's so egregious? So when we think about what we're longing for, I think you can highlight two themes. Number one is that we will be able to, during Yemos HaMashiach, achieve the spiritual goals that are unattainable in our current state. The Rambam stresses that this is why the Chachamim have always longed for Yemos HaMashiach. It's not because they want to be prosperous or successful militarily or the like. It was the ability to study Torah unhindered and come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that's currently impossible. The extent to which this could be seen could be found in Yechezkel Perek Lamed Zayin. That's the famous prophecy of the dry bones. And the way most Rishonim, Kuzari, Ramban, others, as well as Achronim like the Gra, Rav Kook, understand is that that prophecy of the dry bones is not a prophecy about Tchias HaMesim, but rather it's a prophecy about Yemos HaMashiach, that Klal Yisrael and Galus are equivalent to a bunch of dried out, scattered bones, almost lifeless, or seemingly lifeless, who will be revived, brought back to life. What is that revival? That's Yemos HaMashiach. So the Navi's telling us that what are we now? We might not feel this way. We might feel like, okay, we're missing this and that, but we're thriving. You always hear everyone talking about the Orthodox community, how it's thriving. In a way, that's true. But the Navi tells us, we are equivalent to the dried out bones of Yechezkel. If you look at the Ramban at the end of Parshas Vayechi, when he talks about the Maisa Avo Simen Labanim, so he says, what's the Maisa Avo Simen Labanim of Yaakov's death in Mitzrayim? It's Klal Yisrael dying in Galus. And what's the Maisa Avo Simen Labanim of his being brought back to Eretz Yisrael dead? Yemos HaMashiach. So that's incredible, right? And he quotes the Pesukim in Yechezkel. He says, look, you see, we're going to die in Galus. Now, it doesn't mean we're going to die. It doesn't mean that Klal Yisrael is all going to be dead and there's going to be Tchias HaMesim and we're going to come back to Eretz Yisrael through the miracle of Schias HaMesim. What the Rishonim say is it means that we're going to die in Galus spiritually, and the revival of Yemos HaMashiach will be equivalent to Tchias HaMesim. So the fact that we don't feel dead now reflects our lack of appreciation of the extent to which we're missing. What we're missing, we don't even feel it. And the restoration that will take place in Yemos HaMashiach will be something equivalent to Tchias HaMesim. And that's what the Rambam writes. That's why the Chachamim longed for Yemos HaMashiach, because it'll be an opportunity to learn, to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to have an environment of closeness to God, something that's totally impossible nowadays. The Rambam writes, we'll talk about this a little later, that there will be no miracles that necessarily will take place. The Messianic era is not supernatural in any way, but within a natural environment, we'll still have a place where we could come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the restoration of Nevuah, Tshuva, and the like. The Psukim say, Umal Haaretz, Deas Hashem, Kemaim L'yam Mechasim, and the Word of God will illuminate and show the truth to all of humanity. There'll be universal recognition of God. The Pasuk says, and Vayikra, which Chazal also understand, is talking about Yemos HaMashiach, V'nasati Mishkani B'Sochachem, I will walk with you, V'salachti B'Sochachem. That's what we're longing for. So, number one, why is it that we long for Yemos HaMashiach? We long for this opportunity to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Ruchnias, and the like. But it's really much more than individualistic spiritual accomplishments. It's not just like, in Galus Nebuch, I have to go out to work, and I don't have any time to learn, and there's all these tsaris and persecution, and Yemos HaMashiach, finally I'll be able to sit in Kailul all day. Still, according to the Rambam, you were still going to work. But still, all right, I'll get, it'll be like the Rambam, you'll work for 3 hours, you'll learn for 9 hours. So it's not just about the individualistic accomplishments, but it's about our restoration to nationhood. While we do observe mitzvos in Galus, we are hardly a nation in the sense that we once were. And that's why the restoration of the monarchy, the Melech HaMashiach, Es Tzemach David Avdecha Mehera Satzmiach, is something that's stressed. Because to be an Am, you need a Melech. And that is the idea. The restoration of our Darga in Ruchnias, but not just as individuals, but as a nation. In Galus, there have been many great individuals and the like, and I think that's something that surely speaks very profoundly to us when we look around and we see that, very sadly, most of Klal Yisrael numerically are so estranged from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we will once again be in Am Hashem, a mamleches kohen in the Gai Kadosh. It's not just, though, to add to that, about a restoration of sovereignty and independence and spiritual growth, but it's a restoration of our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The beginning of Shir HaShirim, the Pasuk says, Yishakeni menishikos pio ki tovim dodecha miyayin. Rashi explains, Ze hashir omeres befiha begalusa uvalmenusa mi yitain vishikeni hamelech menishikos piu kemo me'az lefi sheyesh mekomo shenoshkim al gav hayad val hakatef ach ani misave vishokekes liyoso noheg imi keminhag harishon kechasan el kala pel pet. Kal Yisrael Galus is estranged from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're almost like in Almana Chaya Tzrura, Rashi says in his Hakdama to Shir HaShirim. And she nostalgically remembers her closeness of old, looks back at Matan Torah, and she longs for a restoration. What is she looking for? What is Klal Yisrael looking for, longing for B'Yemos HaMashiach? The mashal that Shlomo says in Shir HaShirim is Yishakeni Menashikos Piu. Not a kiss on the hand, which is not as intimate, or a kiss on the shoulder, But pel pek, echasan el kala, that's what we're longing for. A national restoration of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's, I think, the first theme that we find. There are many different ways of reflecting that, but that's what we long for. The second one is Kiddush Hashem. If the first aspect focuses on us, on our desire to grow spiritually close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the like, the second theme is that we look at the world nowadays and we see a world in which God is denied or despised or trampled on, the ultimate Chilul Hashem. And Bimos HaMashiach, God's name, will be restored, the desecration will end, as the Psukim say in Yechezkel, V'kibatzti Eschem Mikol HaRatzos Asher Nefotzosam Bam V'nikdashti Bam L'Einei HaGoyim. And when you look throughout the book of Yechezkel again and again, you see this theme stressed. That was from Pasuk Ches, Parachaf, Parak Lamed Vav, V'emchol Al Shem Kadshi Asher Chileluhu Beis Yisrael Bagoyim Asher Bo Shama Lachain Emor Leveis Yisrael Cho Amar Hashem Elokim Lo L'manchem Ani Oseh Beis Yisrael Ki Im L'Shem Kadshi Asher Chilaltem Bagoyim Asher Basem Sham V'kidashti Es Shemi HaGadol HaMechulal Bagoyim Asher Chilaltem B'Socham V'yadu HaGoyim Ki Ani Hashem Ne'um Hashem Elokim V'hikadshi V'chem L'Einechem. Zechariah goes even further. V'haya Bayom Ahu. It will be on that day, or Bayom Ahu Yashem Echad Ushmo Echad. On that day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name will be one, he will be one, because we've talked about this earlier. Right now, in a sense, he's not one. Not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't one, but we don't perceive that oneness. We look in a world in which we don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We see things that seem to be so Sar Kadosh Baruch Hu. Of course, we know he exists. But as Rashi says in Shema, Shema Yisrael, Hashem that's now Elokeinu will one day be Hashem Echad. He'll be one day one in which his name will be recognized and apparent. And the Kiddush Hashem as opposed to the Chil Hashem. That's what Rashi points out. We daven for when we say Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevorach, will God's name once again be great. One. It's not now. Yisgadal v'yisgadash Shmei Rabba. On that day, his name will become Gadol and Kadosh. In the Torah itself, you see these two themes. If you, for example, compare the Nevuos, the description of Yemos HaMashiach in Parashas Nitzavim, which focuses on our coming close to our Kadosh Baruch Hu, versus in Ha'azinu, which focuses on the Chil Hashem and the Kiddush Hashem. It's for that, as Rashi and Ramban especially explain in Ha'azinu. You see different Sfarim express different things. Yishayahu, perhaps, reflecting more the first theme that we mentioned, Yechezkel, focusing more on the second theme. A lot of times these two aspects are presented together, like we say in Shemon Esrei, U'meivigoel, livnei v'nehem, l'man shemo, bi'ahava. It's l'man shemo, it's also bi'ahava. So these, I think, are the two themes. Parenthetically, this goes back to, I think, the fourth shir of the Zman, since Mestama we've all started Chazara, where we talked about the two themes in terms of the purpose and the reasons given for creation, for him, for us. You see these two paralleled as well in the descriptions of Yemos HaMashiach. And as we talked about them, these really are two different perspectives. It's not a stira in any way. They're both true, and they're two different perspectives we should have towards mitzvos and also towards Yemos HaMashiach. So, returning to our original question, why is it that longing for Mashiach is so fundamental? So, by doing so, we acknowledge these ideas and these ideals as the focus of our individual and collective existence. And to the extent that we fail to long for Yemos HaMashiach, so then we lose focus on these ideals. And that's why belief in Yemos HaMashiach is insufficient. And that's also why Tzipis El Yeshua is not something that's so obvious, because in Galus, where we encounter so much that's antithetical to this concept, so it's very easy to lose focus. to long for spirituality and to be bothered by the Chil Hashem and long for the restoration, the Kiddush Hashem. And that's why it's A, so fundamental, so important, and B, also, to a degree, so difficult. So I'd like to now turn to a more practical question, which is, how do we know who is the true Mashiach? This is an important question, of course, because throughout our history, we've had many examples of false messiahs, people who claim or others have claimed about them that they are the Mashiach. So, and this is a natural, especially as we've experienced the bitter galus. One of the things that have kept us going, Rav Kook writes, is the Tzipisa LeYeshua. Tzipisa LeYeshua isn't just a mitzvah, but it's because we are Mitzap LeYeshua that we're able to make it through the galus and through all the difficult travails. And naturally then, and perhaps especially at times when things looked really bad, we have found people who we thought to be Mashiach and the like. So how do we know who is the Mashiach? Or to put it a little differently, what does the Mashiach look like? So the Psukim in Yeshayahu give somewhat of a description. It's the fourth source on the right column of your sheets. This is certainly not the only one, but we'll take a look briefly. This is among the most famous. The Yatza Choter Migeza Yishai V'netzer Misharashav Yifreh. So first of all, we see that the Melech HaMashiach is supposed to be a descendant of David HaMelech. It says, a shoot will come forth from the descendants of Yai, and a twig will grow from his roots. V'nachala Ruach Hashem, Ruach Chachmo Vina, Ruach Eitzo Gvura, Ruach Das V'yos Hashem. So the Melech HaMashiach will be someone who is filled with the Ruach Hashem, Chachma and Bina, Eitza and Gvura, Yiras Hashem, Deyas Hashem. He's going to be a Chacham, a Tzaddik, a Navi. V'haricho b'Yiras Hashem. V'lo l'maray einav yishpot, v'lo l'mishma oznav yochiach. He'll be a judge, but he's not going to judge based off of Mara einav, or he's not going to give Musar based off of that which he hears. What this means, maybe we'll get back to today, what this might specifically be referring to. V'shafat b'tzedek dalim v'ochiach b'mishor le'an ve'aretz. So he's going to give tochacha, he's going to bring people back. V'ka eretz b'shevet piv, he will smite the land with the rod of his mouth. Uv'ruach sfasav yamis rasha, which implies that his greatness comes not necessarily from physical strength or military might, as much as the greatness of his personality. Vaya tzedek ezor masnav ve'emuna ezchalatzav, and righteousness should be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. So, what does that mean in a more practical sense? So the Rambam, in the next source, gives us very precise rules by which we could know who is the Melech HaMashiach. The Rambam writes, Vim Yamod Melech mi Beis David. So again, like we saw in the Psukim, he has to be a descendant of David Hogeb, so Rav Osek B'mitzvos K'David Aviv. He should be a Torah scholar and a tzaddik, again like David, like we saw in the Psukim, Kefitar Shebechsa V'Shebal Peh. V'yachuf Kol Yisrael Eilech Ba Ulechazek Badka, also like we saw in the Psukim, he's someone who's going to inspire people, bring them back to Torah. Vilachem milchamos Hashem, also like we saw in the Psukim. So if he does all this, harei zeh bechezkas Mashiach, he is the presumed Mashiach. So the Rambam over here is going to tell us that there are in fact two categories. There's chezkas Mashiach and vadei Mashiach. Chezkas Mashiach means presumed Mashiach, like we learn about chazakos in all aspects of halacha. Chazaka is a presumption that the Torah says we could make. Now, it's not definitive knowledge. I might have a cheskas mamon, but if you bring edim, so you get the money. It might be a chazaka demekar, and we're going to presume everything's changed the same unless we know otherwise. So a chazaka is a presumption. And the Rambam tells us what you need to know, or what this individual needs to do in order to be presumed Mashiach. So what are those things? So far we've seen the Rambam said that to be a Cheskes Mashiach, he has to be from Beis David, he has to be delve deeply into Torah, he has to observe mitzvos, he has to compel Klal Yisrael to return to Torah and strengthen its observance, and finally fight the wars of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then the Rambam continues, Im asa v'hitzliach, if he did all this, and he succeeded, v'nitzeach kol ha'umos shesvivav, uvana beis hamikdash bimkomo, v'kibetz kol nidcha Yisrael, so then, hareze mashiach levadai. If you did all that, plus, A, you defeated our enemies, B, builds the Beis HaMikdash, C, gathers Nidchei Yisrael, so then you are Bevadei Mashiach. However, it could turn out that someone who was Bechezkas Mashiach turns out not to be Mashiach. According to the Rambam, Rabbi Akiva thought that Bar Kokhba was Bechezkas Mashiach, because more or less, to some degree, he accomplished all of the five conditions of Chezkas Mashiach, but it turned out that he was not, in fact, the Mashiach. So the Rambam writes, Rabbi Akiva Chacham Gadol Mechachmei HaMishnah, Haya, V'hu Haya Nosei Kelev Shel Ben Koziva HaMelech, V'hu Haya Omer Alav Shu Melech HaMashiach. What does it mean Rabbi Akiva said that Bar Kokhba was Mashiach? What he meant, the Rambam says, was that he was Bechezkas Mashiach, that he has those qualities. The Dimahu, the Chol Chachmei Dora, wasn't just Rabbi Akiva, it was all the Chachmei Hador, Shehu HaMelech HaMashiach. Ad, Shinerag Be'avonos. Kevan Shinerag, no Dalahem Shehu HaMashiach. But then, sadly, it didn't quite pan out as they were hoping. He died, Be'avonos, and therefore they knew at that point that he wasn't the Melech HaMashiach. So he was killed, we know that, and it was like, for example, if you look at the Gemara in Gittin in the fifth parak, it talks about the pride and the like, what Chataim brought about the death of Bar Kokhba, and he was killed by the Romans, so he was Narag Ba'avonos. Now I don't think that means that the only way you know someone is not Mashiach as if he's Nerag Bavonos, but let's say anything short of that, he might still be the Mashiach, because again, if we go back to the Rambam tells us that that this isn't the case. The Rambam says that if he didn't, if he was not Matzliach in the way that he had, just go back to the Rambam from before, I skipped that by accident. Bimlo Yitzliach Adko, if the person who is Bechezkas Mashiach is not Matzliach, in other words, he doesn't defeat our enemies and build the Beis HaMikdash and gather Nidchei Yisrael, so Bimlo Yitzliach Adko, oh, Narag, Biadua, She'eno Zeh Shivticha Alav Torah. So if he wasn't Matzliach, he didn't finish carrying out the things that make someone Bevadei Mashiach, or he was killed, so then we know that he was not the one that the Torah had designated, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had picked to be the Mashiach. V'arehu k'chol malchei beis David hashleimim haksherim shemesu. He's obviously a big tzaddik if he was lo hitzliach. After all, he did many great things. He brought Klal Yisrael closer to Torah, and he was a big tzaddik, and he taught Torah, and he did tochacha, but he wasn't the Mashiach. V'lo amidu HaKadosh Baruch Hu el nasos bo rabim, she'nemar u'min hamas kilim yikashelu litzrof bahen u'levarer u'lelabein ad eis ketz ki od lemoed. This is a pasuk from Daniel. Later on in this parak, the Rambam describes how the prophet Daniel predicted false Mashiach's coming, including Yeshu HaNotzri. It's the paragraphs that are deleted from the Vilna printings of the Rambam, but if you look at the Frankel edition, you'll see them. Okay, so again, we're do things a little more quicker. There's much more to say about this, but I just want to talk about some other important issues. So what will the Messianic era look like? And To oversimplify, we find a debate in Chazal about this point, as well as in the Rishonim. The Gemara in Shabbos, which you have over here, on the top of the left column, records that Amar Shmuel ein bein olam hazel yimos Mashiach el ashiabud malchulios bilvad. That the difference between olam hazel yimos Mashiach is shibud malchulios will no longer be persecuted. Shmuel brings a fascinating proof for this. It's a pasuk again that you have over here from Kilo Yachdal of Yon Mikarev Haaretz Ashanochim Itzavcha Lemor Pasoch Tiftachas Yadcha Lachicha Laniacha Ulevioncha Beartzacha. The pasuk says Kilo Yachdal of Yon Mikarev Haaretz, that the poor will not cease from within the land. And Shmuel understands that this indicates that even B'Yemos HaMashiach, poverty will persist. Now, Shmuel presumably agrees that the Messianic era will be a time of bounty, but what he seems to maintain, after all, that's quite explicit in the Psukim, it will be a time of great prosperity and bounty, but Shmuel maintains that that bounty will not be evenly distributed, and therefore there will still be a need for charity. So, according to Shmuel, Mashiach will not be a supernatural era with a cataclysmic socioeconomic shifts. Even things like scarcity and other social problems will endure B'Yemos HaMashiach. The Gemara in Shabbos elsewhere on Samech Gimel Amud Aleph writes that according to Shmuel, even warfare, at least among the nations, will continue in the Messianic era. The Gemara asks how Shmuel would interpret the pasuk, the chitzu charvosam li'itim, the chaniyosehem le'maz meiros, lo yisa gai al gai cherev, lo yilumadu od milchama. The pasuk says explicitly, they'll beat their swords into plowshares, and there will no longer be any war. And the Gemara understands that these pasukim, like many others, implies that there'll be universal peace and prosperity, and that's against Shmuel. And the Gemara answers that these prophecies are talking about Olam Haba, which is a post-messianic experience in existence, as we talked about last week. But B'Yemos HaMashiach, even Milchama will continue. And the Gemara goes ahead and shows how Shmuel disagrees with a number of Tanaim and Amoraim, among them Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan understands that the psukim, like from Yeshayahu that we just quoted over here on the left, the beating of the plowshares, are talking about Y'Mos HaMashiach. Because Rabbi Yochanan says, concerning Olam Haba, Ayin lo rasa lokim zul asecha, no eye has seen that, no eye will be able to perceive that. The Rambam explains that's because since Olam Haba is a otherworldly existence, we on this world can't even possibly imagine what Olam Haba is like. We had difficulty with this last week. We're physical people with a physical body, and to imagine a spiritual existence, one of only spiritual pleasures, is something that's exceedingly difficult, if not impossible for us. Even Hanaviim lo dimuha, even the prophets didn't depict it, because the Rambam says any depiction would take away from what it is. So that's those, any prophecies in the prophets about a great world of peace and prosperity, so according to Shmuel, are talking about Olam Haba. According to Rabbi Yochanan, they're talking about Y'Mos HaMashiach, because Olam Haba, Ayin Lo Rasa. There are no depictions, prophetic depictions of prophecy. Now, the Rambam's position here is very difficult, and if we had more time, we would be marchiv, because the Rambam paskins both like Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, though the Gemara sets them up as contrasting views. The Rambam paskins like Shmuel. He quotes on several occasions, Ein bein olam hazel Y'Mos HaMashiach al shibud malchios bilvad. Y'Mos HaMashiach is not going to be a supernatural existence. And the Rambam also paskins Rabbi Yochanan, who says that olam haba ayin lo rasa and lo dimua nevi'im and the like. Now, in and of itself, it's not a stira. It's a stira in cheshbon, and it goes against the Gemara's assumption that these two views are arguing. And it's an issue that the Rishonim dealt with at length. The Radvaz, among others, has a number of yeshuvim for the Rambam. Perhaps if we have time today, I'll mention them. If not, so they're in a footnote in the notes I sent you last night. But that's one. That's an interesting problem that has to be dealt with within a Rambam. Another opinion that the Gemara says disagrees with Shmuel is the Chachamim in one version, Rabbi Lazar, who both state that there will be no warfare in the Messianic era. According to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Yemos HaMashiach, we will no longer desire to do evil. The Gemara understands that is against Shmuel. The Ramban paskins like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, to the extent that Psak HaShayach here, but he quotes in a couple of places, among them Parshas Nitzavim, when describing Yemos HaMashiach, the view of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar that Yemos HaMashiach will be a time that we no longer desire to do evil or see evil. If you want to just take a quick look at the Ramban, it's on the left column of page 2 of your source sheets today, middle of the column. Ki mizman abri aiser v'shus b'yad ha'adam lasos kirtzono tzadik o rasha v'chol zman ha'torah kein k'dei shiu lam z'chus b'vchirasam ha'batov v'onesh b'rtzosam bara aval yimos ha'mashiach tia b'chira b'tov lohem teva. As we talked about on I think the fifth shiur of this man, that the Ramban understands that the nature of Bechira B'Yemos HaMashiach will be similar to that which it was for Adam HaRishon Kodem HaChet, one in which we naturally do that which is right. There is no contradictory emotions within us. Davar V'Hipucho Lo Yis'ave Lohem HaLev Lema she'ena roi v'lo yachbos b'klal, and the Ramban says this is the meaning of the pesukim. Umal Hashem elokachas levavcha li'avas Hashem elokacha. He'll circumcise our heart. What does it mean? He'll remove the arlas halev. What's the arlas halev? It's the desire to do that which is wrong, the yetzer hara and the like. And the Ramban continues. Ki achem devatay va'arlo lelev umul halev hu shelo yachmod v'lo yisave. V'yashiv adam isbanahu la'asher haya kodem chato she'adam avisham shahaya. And moreover, the Ramban continues there and explains that this is the view of Rav Shimon Elazar, that Yemos HaMashiach are called Yamim She'en Bam Chefetz, a time when there's no chefetz, no desire to do anything wrong. Naturally, we'll do that which is right. The Ramban continues, therefore, there's not going to be schar for doing that which is right B'Yemos HaMashiach, because it will be natural. It's not something that we'll have to fight to go against our nature. It'll be natural. That's the view of Rav Shimon ben Elazar, the Ramban says. The Ramban accepts that view. He doesn't quote any oppositions. He understands that's the meaning of the psukim of Umal Hashem es Arlas Levavcha. So the Ramban seems to be nota to the view of Rav Shimon ben Elazar, the Rambam to that of Shmuel, but as we'll see, both of them do not, as it were, paskin in a straightforward view. There are a number of questions. For example, according to Rabbi Shimon Elazar, that there's not going to be a desire to do that which is wrong in the Messianic era. So what's the difference between Yemos HaMashiach and Olam Haba? Especially if we accept the Ramban's view that in Olam Haba we won't have a guf, as we discussed last week. So how are they really different? So, there are a number of aspects to this answer. Briefly, we'll just note two of them. The Gemara, as we quoted last week in Brachos, Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, says that in Olam Haba, there's no Achila, there's no Shtia, there's no Tashmish Shamita, and all these bodily functions certainly will exist B'Yemos HaMashiach. So, Yemos HaMashiach, for Rabbi Shimon Elazar, for Ramban, is a transition, perhaps, from Olam Hazat to Olam Haba, but fundamentally it's still part of Olam Hazeh. There'll be Achila, there'll be Shtia, presumably there'll be Tashmish Amita and Period of Erivian, people dying. And the purpose is something that has to be considered if there's no Bechira, and part of the purpose is to prepare the world and the person for Olam Haba, as we mentioned last week. But even though in Yemos HaMashiach we'll naturally do that which is right, and the Ramban says, therefore, we won't be rewarded, it's not a time of schar va'onesh, but still, it's still a fundamentally this-worldly experience. The Ramban over there compares Yemos HaMashiach to Adam HaRishon Kodem HaChet and Olam Haba to what would have been had Adam HaRishon not sinned and eaten from the Eitz HaChayim, which are, again, two different stages. Olam Haba is when Tzadikim Yoshvin Vatru Sam B'Rosheim V'nen and Meziv HaShchina. Is Shmuel's view of Olam Haba the same as Rabbi Yochanan's Yemos HaMashiach? I think there's no reason to assume that. But there are a lot of interesting questions that one could consider. Now, I saw there's some questions. Let me briefly take the questions, but a lot to do. So, yes.
When Rabbi Yochanan says Shibud Malchios, so what does that mean exactly? I mean, it doesn't mean peace. You said it means.
No, well, no. That we will live in peace, presumably. You mean Shmuel? What Shmuel said, Shmuel.
Yes. Yeah, sure.
Presumably, that means we will live in peace. We'll no longer be oppressed in any way. We'll have autonomy and independence, political independence. We'll have the opportunity to pursue HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Umal ha'aretz de'es Hashem kimayim milayam mechasim. We'll come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in ways that we can't do so nowadays. But that doesn't mean to say that the way the world runs, you know, l'mashal. It's very interesting. The Rambam writes in many places that nature will not change b'Yemos HaMashiach. But he also writes that there'll be incredible bounty so that people will be left with lots and lots of time to focus on Ruchnias, on Talmud Torah, and the like. So if you lived a couple hundred years ago, you would have said that's impossible. In other words, how could there be so much bounty and still have plenty of free time to sit and learn all day? So nowadays we know that that's very easy. You know, there's already more than enough world food in the world to go around and leave if people sort of get their attentions properly with plenty of time for plenty of people to learn. It wouldn't in any way involve a change in nature to create that reality nowadays. It'll require a change in perspective, a change in politics. People have to look at the world differently. But no nace is necessary. There's enough resources in the world for everybody to have lots and lots of time to spend in their avodas Hashem, the entire world, certainly Kol Yisrael, without any changes. When the Rambam wrote, that will happen. So it's true, it would have been impossible in his day. But nowadays, it's easy to see how that's possible. So certainly, as the Rambam explains, even what Shmuel means to say is that there's nothing in nature that's going to change. But that doesn't mean to say that the only change will happen to be Shibud Malchios. No. As the Rambam says, it'll be a time of incredible kirva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the like. The Beis HaMikdash will be restored and so on and so forth. Okay. So let's talk about just that for a moment. We mentioned that there are many psukim that seem to describe fantastic things that are going to change b'Yemos HaMashiach. The gar ze'ev im kaves, the namer im gedi yirbatz, the egel ukfir umari yachda v'nar katon noheg bam. What do these mean when we say the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard with the kid? What do these psukim mean? I think one of the last czars of Russia had, at the end of the 19th century, had a messianic pretensions. And so in the Central Zoo in St. Petersburg, there was a cage with a lion and a lamb in it. And so somebody once went to the zookeeper and said, so how do you do this? She said, oh, it's very simple. We start with two lambs every morning. So what is meant exactly by the Namer and Gedir boats? The truth is that they're psukim in the Torah. For example, in Vayikra Chavav, it says, V'nasati shalom ba'aretz, u'shechavtem v'ein macharid, v'hishbati chaya ra'a min ha'aretz. So what does that mean? I will remove the wild beasts from the land. If you take a look at the Sefra, on that Pasuk, two views are quoted. Reb Yehuda Omer, Ma'aviram min ha'olam. Rabbi Shimon Omer, mashbisan shelo yazuku. So when the Pasuk says and promises that there will be the elimination of dangerous animals, what exactly is going on? So Shimon sounds like he's saying that mashbisan shelo yazuku, their harmful nature will supernaturally be removed. According to Rabbi Yehuda, no. It means ma'aviram min ha'olam. They will be taken away. The way the Ramban at least explains that is that was a natural thing. The Ramban writes over there in Vayikra, Al Das Rav Yehuda Sha'amar Ma'aviran Min Ha'olam Hu Kipshuto Shelo Yavau Chayos Ra'us Ba'artzam Ki Biyos Hasava Ubrachos Hatova Uviyos Harim Leos Adam Lo Tivoena Chayos Biyishuv. In other words, if there's bounty and there's plenty, so then wild animals won't start creeping into the city. It's only when there's a scarcity that there's a danger of wild animals in the yishuv and the like. So Rabbi Yehuda is describing a more natural experience. Now, we mentioned before the Rambam stresses that there will not be miracles. Just to say, this doesn't mean that the Melech HaMashiach will not perform miracles in the bringing of Mashiach. He's making here a different point. The Rambam in his Igeret Teiman does describe miracles that the Melech HaMashiach might do. What the Rambam here is stressing is that B'yemos HaMashiach nature will not change. We'll just take a look at it inside. This is the second to last source on the page. Al yal al alev shebimos haMashiach yivatel davar minhago shel olam o yiyasham chidush b'maisa bereishis el olam kiminhago noheg v'zeh shenemar b'Yishayahu v'gar ze'evim keves v'namerim gedir bat mashal v'chida inyan adavar sheyiyah Yisrael yoshvin levetach al im rishei akom hamoshlim kize'ev v'namer. So nature will not change. So what then do the psukim mean? That the wild animals will dwell peacefully together with the domesticated animals. It doesn't mean that the lion will sit with the lamb literally. It's a metaphor. Who are the lions and the wolves of the world? Those are our enemies, those who persecute us and the like. And they will dwell peacefully with us. We will no longer be persecuted by the lions and the wolves of the world. But it doesn't mean literally that lions will dwell with the lamb. Shenemar ze'ev arvosh yishadudam v'namer shoked al areihem v'yachzeru kulam ledas ames. The whole world, there'll be universal recognition of God. This is a very interesting line. What is v'yachzeru kulam ledas ames? Some have thought that meant that everybody become Jewish, according to the Rambam. I don't think that's the correct translation. But it does mean that there'll be universal recognition of God. V'lo yigzalu v'lo yashchisu El yochlu davar mutar benachas im Yisrael. Shenemar v'ayei kebakar yochal teven. V'chein kol kiyotze be'elu advarim b'inyanim ha-mashiach. Hey mashalim. So all these prophetic descriptions are mashalim. Uvimos melech ha-mashiach. Yivadal l'chol eze davar haya mashal. Uma inyan ramzuban. We don't know exactly actually what each mashal is necessarily referring to. But we'll figure it out then when we see it. The Rambam stresses that the order of events leading up to Mashiach and in the Messianic era are things that are not known to us with certainty. We might have a basic structure that's told to us by Chazal and in the Psukim, but the details we don't know. We shouldn't try to figure it out or predict. As Chazal themselves say, it could take place in different ways. Bitu Achishana, it depends if we're Ra'ui and the like. It's not even definitive, and therefore we shouldn't spend too much time trying to figure out the details. A number of years back, there was someone who put together a sefer where he tried to go through all the midrashim and gemaras and make like a roadmap of Yemos HaMashiach and all the steps that are going to happen and the like. And he has a haskamah from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. To his credit, he published the haskamah. And the haskamah, he says, Lozu Aderech. And this is not what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to try to figure out the roadmap for Yemos HaMashiach and the like. In the second printing, it didn't have the haskamah. But anyway, so that's what the Rambam writes. Now, what Why is it that the Rambam writes with such vehemence that nature won't change? Okay, it happens to be that's what the Rambam thinks, but you get the impression from the way the Rambam says it that this is something that's problematic to say that there'll be a change in nature. And he explains that, in fact, that is the case. In Mor Nevuchim Chelak Beis Parak Chaf Ches, which you have your last source over here, first of all, the Rambam writes that there are many, many psukim that indicate that nature will never change. Dor holech v'dor ba v'haretz li'olam omedes ad kol in brachos ad kol yemei haaretz zera v'katir v'kor v'chom v'kaitz v'chorev yom v'leila lo yishbosu in Tehillim yasad eretz al mechoneh bal timot olam v'ed v'yamidem l'ad li'olam chok nasan v'lo yavor, and many other psukim. So the Rambam writes, first of all, we see in psukim that nature won't change, but he adds an additional point, which is that it would be a problem to say that there's a change in nature, because if you have to change something, if you have to correct something, so that would imply that it's flawed or tainted or in some way broken such that it needs fixing. And the Rambam writes over here that if it were the case that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would change nature or the laws of nature, b'yamos HaMashiach, so that would imply that there's some type of chisaron in HaKadosh Baruch Hu or in his original system. He messed up. He needs to fix it. And that's impossible. Miracles, the Rambam writes, are not a problem, because a miracle is a temporary modification of the natural order to deal with a occasional need. The Rambam actually does quote a view in the Mor Nevuchim and also in the Perashat Mishnayos. Perashat Mishnayos seems to accept it. Mor Nevuchim, he calls it a little weird, but he says it's a view on Chazal, which he corresponds to Plato and the like, that even miracles are built into nature. There's no such thing really as a miracle. He understands that's what Chazal meant when they say that like the Pi Ha'asom was created in Bein HaShmashos of Sheishis Yimei Bereishis, to mean that it was built into the system. It's not a change, but it was built in Meirosh. In the Yadach, in the Mor Nevuchim, it sounds like he doesn't think that's the predominant view. He thinks that Nisim are changes, but they're something to deal with a temporary issue. And therefore, the need doesn't imply a deficiency in the original system. Masha'in came to totally change it. That would imply deficiency. Now, there are a lot of interesting questions you could ask for the Rambam. For example, in Igeres Tchias HaMeisim, the Rambam writes that B'mos HaMashiach will leave exceedingly long lives. Well, if the Rambam thinks that nature won't change, how could we live such exceedingly long lives? The answer is that the Rambam, and he has this in several places, thinks that, maybe you see it from the psukim themselves that talk about how in earlier generations people lived for a long time. It's an interesting machlokas Rambam Ramban about that point. But you see that that's something that is in nature. For us to be able to live a long time, much longer than we currently live, or certainly than they lived in the times of the Rambam, generally, wouldn't necessarily involve a change in nature and the like. Now, so what will change, B'mos HaMashiach, if nature won't change? So like we said, like the Rambam writes, Lo nis'avu chacham v'im li'mos HaMashiach, not so they'll be sholid ala olam and the like, but rather what? K'dei she'iyu pinuyim b'tor v'chachma. V'lo ye'elam noges u'mivatel k'dei she'yizkul chayolam haba. Yemos Mashiach will be a time when we will be able to be zochel Olam Haba, because we'll be able to focus. There'll be a Beis HaMikdash and the like. Now, many Rishonim rejected Rambam's rejection of change. The Ramban, for example, in Vayikra Chavav, writes that he doesn't accept this idea that change implies imperfection, because he thinks that the domestication of dangerous animals, if we were to accept that nevuah literally, which is, as Ramban notes, seemingly one view in Chazal, does not imply a fundamental change in the world order, but rather a restoration of their original state before Adam and Chava sinned. The animal's predilection to kill is an aberration. And in the Messianic era, we will go back to what once was. Just like human nature will be restored to what it was, Kodem Achet, so too animal nature. And the Ramban in Darsha Sors Hashem Tamima thinks it's associated with Rambam's general opposition and attempt to minimize miracles. He doesn't like it. The Ravid on this Rambam says, how could you say that? The Pasuk says, Vishpati Chayara Amin Aretz. Parenthetically, it's very interesting that why does the Ravid ask from there? Why is Vishbati Chayara Amin Aretz a better kasha than Vigar Ze'ev Im Gedi? Maybe you'll say it's from the Pesukim. What's interesting is he asks the kasha from the Pesukim. We already mentioned that it's a machlokus and chazal. So how to read those Pesukim? Maybe the Ravid understood both opinions in Chazal were referring to a supernatural change. There's a lot more to say here, but for now we'll leave it just something to think about it. And finally, the last issue that we alluded to, but just to add, so will we have a free will in the Yemos HaMashiach? So clearly the Rambam thinks that will not change. We will continue to have free will. It might very well be that our nisyonos, our what we struggle with, change. So it won't be a world where people struggle with atheism, for example, but that people will continue to have bechira and struggle between doing that which is right and doing that which is wrong. It would seem that the Rambam certainly thinks that will change. So what a person struggles with might change, but fundamentally the struggle that is part of our current existence will continue, in according to the Rambam. As we noted, the Ramban seems to disagree. The Sukkim in Zechariah Yud Beis talk about Bayomahu Yigdal Misped Yushalayim and Vesafta Haaretz Mishpachos Mishpachos Levad. So the Gemara in Sukkah asks, what is this great mispaid that's being described in Zechariah talking about? And there are two views, but one view is it's Mashiach ben Yosef dying. I guess it's another topic we won't get to today. The other view is it's Al Yetzer Hara Shenarag, which again sounds like it's telling us that we won't have a Yetzer Hara, we won't have the same type of Bechira at all. The Pasuk in Koheles says, Zechor es Borecha b'yemei Becharusecha ad asher lo yavo yemei hara'a v'higiyu shanim asher tomar ein li vahem chefetz. So Shimon ben Elazar, which as we noted Ramban explains, says this is referring to Yemos HaMashiach. Yamim asher tomar ein li b'am chefetz is Yemos HaMashiach. We'll have no longer any chefetz, no longer Yetzer Hara. And therefore, Zechor es Borecha b'yemei Bechurusecha. Remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you're young, meaning before Yemos HaMashiach. Because if you only remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu once Yemos HaMashiach comes, well, it'll be too late at that point. It's not a time of Schar v'onesh. As Rabbi Shimon Lazar says, Elu Yemos HaMashiach She'en Bahem Lo Zchus V'loi Chayva. So Rashi understands that Gemara means specifically with respect to tztaka. There'll be no longer an opportunity to do the mitzvah of giving tztaka. There'll be no poor people anymore. But the Ramban understands that much more broadly speaking. There's no Zchus V'chayva because doing that which is right will come natural to us. It's very interesting because there are psukim that seem to imply otherwise. In fact, the pasuk right before the one quoted by Ramban says, "Bayamim ahem lo yomru od avos achlu boser v'shine banim tikhena ki im ish ba'avono yamus kol ha'adam ha'ochel boser tikhena shinav." So it sounds like Yemos HaMashiach, people will no longer be punished for the sins of their parents or suffer from the sins of their parents, whatever that means. Rather, people will only suffer for their own sins. But the psukim imply, take a look at the mefarshim on those psukim, that people will continue to sin b'Yemos HaMashiach. How would Ramban deal with this is an interesting question. But again, unfortunately, no time to discuss today. So this is our last year. Sadly, or happily, depending on what you might prefer to do Friday mornings. I wanted to thank you guys for a tremendous man. I know certainly that I benefited a tremendous amount in learning the sugyos with you and talking to you and getting to know you. Bein Hazmanim is coming up. It's always a good time to learn Machshava in the Bein Hazmanim. So certainly if this is something that has sparked your interest, then it's something that that's very worthwhile, very kedai to be further ma'ayan in, as we started off in the year by noting, even if the ikar is the lechem ubasar, and the Rama writes, you know, when nobody else is learning, so that's when you should be doing these type of things. Hatzlacha rabba to all of you. Thank you. Stay in touch. Don't, I assume most of you aren't going too far, at least in the bigger picture. And thank you very much. As you all know, the Bechina.